قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are honored to be living in the months of Muharram and Safar, these months in which we commemorate the mission and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In order to talk a little bit about the mission and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Mustafa Samadi from Nigeria to talk to us a little bit about this vast and expansive knowledge known as Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Let's go ahead and invite him and start our discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Samadi, and welcome to the talk show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Sheikh Mustafa, again, thank you for taking time out from your schedule, coming and joining us on the talk show. The last time we had begun to talk a little bit about how Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt pose a role model for all of humanity, especially in the present day. There was a second point that you were going to talk about, which we had run out of time and we really weren't able to, so we wanted to invite you back and talk a little bit about that second point, especially since you were talking about how Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, how they controlled and used the tragedy of Karbala for the benefit and the safety and protection of Islam. We hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Thank you very much. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen. Bil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Wa Ali Muhammad. Yes, we say that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, they tried to use the tragedy to convey the messages of Prophet Muhammad, the messages of Quran, the messages of Allah, which we say that the messages of Allah and Quran can be summarized in إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِي أَهْلَ بَيْتِي. The Prophet said, I'm leaving with you the Quran and my family, and if you obey them, you're not gonna be misguided. So Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam tried to bring back the people to Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tried to bring back the people to Ahlul Bayt and the Quran using the tragedy of Karbala. We mentioned the old man that repented from what he said after Imam Zainul Abidin told him that they are the Ahlul Bayt, they are the family of the Prophet that has to be loved. Now I'm gonna bring the second incident that happened in Sham. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam asked Yazid to allow him to give a speech. Yazid denied. Yazid did not want Imam to give the speech. But there are some Jews maybe that were sitting behind, close to Yazid. They told him that let him speak. He doesn't know anything. What is he gonna say?
He's in chains. Yeah. His family members have been killed.
Yeah.
His women are, you know, imprisoned and you know, they're being treated like slaves. What is the most of this 34? You know, a year old individual in this kind of a condition, what could he possibly say?
Yeah.
What's interesting is despite, you know, and I had told you in the previous talk show, you have to forgive me for adding points
there.
You know, but here what's interesting is despite this very downtrodden image and really this downtrodden and completely oppressed condition that the fourth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, is in, Yazid, the power, you know, and authority, is still afraid of Imam Zainul Abidin. He says, don't let this guy speak.
Yeah, yeah.
If this guy, of course, and this is this epic of Karbala is really something amazing. So one of the things we talk with the brothers and the other religious scholars here in the city of Qom is how, despite the passing of over 1,000 years, these new, beautiful, fresh, alive points come out from this epic.
Yeah.
You know? So here you have the authority who represents falsehood and tyranny and oppression and injustice, you know, for that era, is afraid of this one individual who represents truth and justice and pure Muhammadan Islam. And this is a theme that you see throughout history.
Yeah, yeah. So, and he was scared.
He was scared, you know?
That maybe Imam is going to bring out all the mistakes that he and his father has done.
Yeah.
That Yazid and his father has been doing the mistakes that he was doing, he and his father. And so that's what happened.
And yeah, that's what you were saying. You were saying that these Jewish scholars told Yazid, let him speak, please continue.
Let him speak. What does he know? So Yazid told him that, إن هذا من أهل بيت زق العلم زقا. He is one of the members of the family that has the true knowledge. They have all the knowledge of Islam, of Quran. And Yazid said,
he admitted this. Yeah.
That means if you want knowledge, you have to come to Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
And these powers of falsehood know where the truth is.
Yeah, they know where the truth is.
Allahu Akbar, yes.
Then he said that if he get into the member, he's going to say things that's going to make me and my family, Yazid and his family, ashamed. And that's what happened. Imam Zain al-Abidin get into the member. First, he introduced himself. He introduced Ahlul Bayt after praising Allah. He said, I am the son of the Prophet. I am the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. I am the son of Fatima. I am the son of Imam Hussein that Yazid has killed in Karbala. When Imam Zain al-Abidin continued introducing himself, the people that were in the majlis, in that place, in the castle, started crying. That's what Yazid was scared of. Then Yazid told the muazzin that, start doing azan. The muazzin started doing Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Imam Zain al-Abidin told Yazid, this Muhammad that he mentioned, is he your father or my father? Is he your grandfather or my grandfather? If he is my grandfather, then why did you kill his son in Karbala?
Right.
How can you kill his son and witness, and you're saying that you're witnessing that he is the Prophet? Why did you kill the Prophet's son? Why did you steal his wealth? Why did you arrest his family? When the people hear this, when the people had this, they now realized that Yazid is not the king, is not the leader that was chosen by Allah. And in this case, Yazid told the muazzin that let's start praying. Many people did not pray behind Yazid. And that shows that these people realized that Yazid was not the chosen one. He was the wrong leader. And the real leaders must be Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. This is one of the goals that Imam Hussein wanted to reach. And indeed, he achieved this goal.
You know, Sheikh Mustafa is so interesting. So, you know, a lot of times there's so many interesting points, right, that come forth from this. Like we said, is over thousands of years. This is still an event that is very much alive and is very much a threat to any oppressive individual or power all across the world. You know, it's interesting. We see that. A lot of these so-called Muslim countries, they have these crackdowns on Muharram ceremonies, you know, precisely because of this, because it creates awakening and all of these different points that, you know, that we mentioned. Here we kind of see this idea that, so Yazid being this manifestation of falsehood and oppression and tyranny and bad guys, right? So for example, it wasn't necessarily the time for Salat when Yazid said, give the azan.
Yeah.
So a panic is created, right, after Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam starts to speak the truth. And so in order to control the situation, what does this manifestation of falsehood do? It uses the religion in order to achieve their own false hadaf, their own false purpose, right?
Yeah.
So give the azan so that everything... In the present day, we see this.
Mm.
You see, so for example, you can comment if you want, but you don't have to. You know, you see the Ahle Saud.
Mm.
These are the custodians of the two holy mosques, right? But they're using this position to do what? To bomb poor Yemeni kids to death, to break the civilian, and civilian infrastructure means schools, hospitals, you know, pipes that bring water to your house, which you drink, destroying civilian infrastructure, you know, in the name of what? In the name of this so-called Islam. That, and you see these very direct connections between what is happening today and this kind of, you know, historical aspects. The Ali Khalifa in Bahrain, right? So cracking down on Shia democratic reform protests, or cracking down on the Ashura processions, you know, imprisoning women, imprisoning youth, 15, 16, 17, 18, or back to the Ahle Saud, you know, the cutting off the heads of. And to me, it's amazing that the democracy and human rights people of the world don't say anything. United States of America doesn't say anything. United Kingdom doesn't say anything. France doesn't say anything. Germany doesn't say anything. When they're killing off, you know, they're cutting the head of a 16, 17-year-old. I apologize. I'm trying not to digress.
It's no problem. It's no problem.
But you see, it's this idea that these false powers will use Islam to their own benefit to put down the truth, right? And to me, what's really interesting is because as a student of the Islamic seminary, you know, a student of Islam, a humble student of Islam, we really see the importance of having leaders that are righteous, that are just, that follow Islamic principles, you know. Some people might call me biased, but the truth is the truth. Leaders like Imam Khomeini, who are the representation, the manifestation of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah.
Or leaders like Imam Khamenei. Or leaders like Sheikh Zakzaki in Nigeria. Right? Or leaders like Sheikh Isa Qasim. Right? Leaders like Hashim al-Haydari. Leaders like Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. Leaders like Abdul Malik al-Houthi in Yemen. These are the manifestations of the teaching of the Ahlul Bayt. And how blessed are we to have leaders like this who represent the Ahlul Bayt and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. What if we had people like Yazid? And we do in many countries.
Yeah, we do have.
Man, we would have nothing left.
Yeah, we do have in many countries.
And how they use, go ahead, please.
I just want to continue what you said, you know. Now, many people, or there are many maybe leaders in our time, are using Islam for their bad goals to kill people, maybe to oppress Muslims, to destroy Islam. And that's what happened in Yazid's time. That's what happened in Muawiyah's time. They used Islam to come and lead Muslims. And then they use Islam to defend themselves and to destroy Islam and to destroy Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. Now I'm going to enter another topic. The love of Allah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to Karbala because of the love of Allah.
Yes.
The love of Allah was the one pushing Imam Hussein towards Karbala. If you read the supplication of Dua Arafah, you see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was speaking with God out of love. And sometimes he was crying. Sometimes he would start crying when he was speaking to Allah.
Right.
And it was reported that sometimes the people that were with him were crying just because Imam Hussein was crying. That shows the love of Allah in Imam Hussein's heart. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he saw that the only way to prove the love that he has to Allah was for him to sacrifice himself and his family's life. He did that. He came to Karbala and sacrificed himself for Allah. When he saw that that was the only way to prove it, he did sacrifice himself and his family. When he saw that Yazid became the leader of Muslims and all the Muslims are praising him, Imam Hussein alayhi salam sees that he need to do something. Because annas ala dini mulukihim, all the people used to follow their leaders. If they are bad, the people will be bad. If they are good, the people will be good.
Yeah, the people are upon the religion of their leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
With the translation, yes.
Yeah, so
is that the people are on the religion of the leaders.
Of the leaders,
and if the leaders is Yazid, then
the people
say salam to Islam.
Yeah, Imam Hussein said salam to Islam. Islam, we have to say goodbye to Islam.
Yes.
That's why Imam Hussein said, I'm not going to vote for him. So, Yazid is the leader now. He's going to destroy the Islam, destroy the Muslim Ummah, destroy the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, the teachings of Prophet, the teachings of Quran.
Yes.
Imam Hussein has to make the uprising to stop these things that Yazid wants to do. Because one of the things that Yazid said, he said, لَعِبَتْ هَاشِمُ بِالْمُلْكِ فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلْ. There is nothing like Wahi. There is nothing like Quran. All was lie. He means the Prophet was lying. This is how he wanted to destroy the Islam.
Yes.
To destroy the teachings of Prophet. To destroy the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. So Imam Hussein made the uprising so that he can bring the people back to Quran and stop Yazid from doing what he wanted to do. Imam Hussein came to Karbala and he gave his life, his family's life, and his companions just to save Islam, just to tell Allah that, God, I love you and I'm ready to do everything for your love, and I'm gonna sacrifice myself. I'm gonna give the most important thing, my soul, just because of you. That's why they said, when Imam Hussein was about to die, when he was wounded, you can see the lighting in his face, as if he was happy that he's gonna go and meet his love. And he has done what his love wanted him to do, sacrificing himself. He has done everything, giving your family, your brother, your beloved son, your companions for Allah. This is what Imam Hussein wanted to do. This is what Imam Hussein wanted to happen. And indeed, he did it. And he fulfilled the love. And he proved that he really loved Allah. In this case, we can say that if we truly love Allah, we have to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah.
And this is, yeah, this is what I also wanted to ask you to explain a little bit, this idea that love entails action, and love, here we add that love entails sacrifice as well, or love entails hard work and effort and time. Just this, you know, we very easily say that, you know, I love Allah and I love Imam Hussein and I love the Holy Prophet and I love, you know, Imam Ali. And but it's merely saying it, okay, that's one level, but it has to have action, it has to have effort, it has to have sacrifice, it has to have, you know, these kind of, you have to take practical steps. And Imam Hussein shows us this.
Shows it, yeah.
That, you know, he put forth the effort and he sacrificed everything that he could, and even more. And, you know, he obeyed Allah and you know, and this is something that we need to relate in our own lives, if you want to comment on that.
How,
you know, it's very easy for us to say that we love Allah, but without putting forth action, without putting forth effort, without putting forth sacrifice, without putting forth time,
yeah.
Do we really love Allah? If you'd like to, you know, answer that.
If you like someone, like a friend of you, if you like him so much, you make sure that you didn't do anything. You don't do anything that would make him angry.
Right.
So when you say that I love Allah, but you're not doing anything for that, you're ready to do anything that pleases you, even if it makes Allah angry, then that's not love. That's not a true love.
Yes.
You're just saying it with your mouth, but you're not saying it with actions. You need to say this with your actions. You need to do things to prove that, yes, I really love Allah. You need to sacrifice the life of this world, because Allah wants you to sacrifice the life of this world. And that's what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. He sacrificed everything to prove that he truly love Allah.
Sheikh Samadi, I think we're probably either close to the end or we've already gone a little bit over the time. I don't know if you'd like to, either summarize or add a final point in there, or maybe give a piece of advice to the viewers out there who in this month of Muharram and Safar are commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If you have some piece of advice that can help them, the world is a quite scary place these days. Wars, yeah. And I don't know, moral and moral corruption. I mean, it's really a mess. Mm. And I know in one of the talk shows I had said this. I really hope and pray that the people start to wake up and realize that we are living in a messed up world. And the reason we live in a messed up world, it's because, one, we don't know. Two, we're not doing anything about it, So the majority of the people, they don't even see all the things that are going wrong with the world. Whether it's, LGBT issues or oppression or dictatorship or these kind of wars or sanctions or, alcoholism, drug use. I mean, just you name it. It's just so much stuff that, first and foremost, people, they have to kind of realize we live in a messed up world. Mm. And two, we need to realize that we are the ones that need to do something to fix this world. Yeah. If you want to give some advice to people who are in this kind of a state in these days.
Yeah, I see in that the only way to solve all these problems that you mentioned just now is to come back to Quran and come back to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. I advise even the Christians to read about Ahlul Bayt, to read about Imam Hussein, about Imam Ali, about the justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam, to read about Quran al-Kareem, to read Quran and see the messages of Allah. Allah is the one that created us and created the whole world. If we want to solve the problems that we're facing right now, the only way for us to solve it is that we should come and see what God says about the world and how to rule the world. What Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam said, many people are reading many books every day. Why they shouldn't try reading books about Ahlul Bayt, about Imam Ali alayhi salam? They should try reading Imam Hussein history, Imam Ali history, Sayyidah Zahra history, Prophet Muhammad history. They're gonna see how they lead the countries, how they lead the Muslim Ummah, how they provide justice in the community of Islam. They should read about Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. They're going to find the best way to solve all these problems that we're facing, even individual problems.
Sheikh Mustafa Samadi, thank you so much. Jazakallah khair wa afiya. May Allah bless you. Thank you for joining us on the talk show, and hopefully, inshallah, it's not the last talk show that we will have you on. May Allah bless you.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure. For having me. Thank you very much for having me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're welcome. And dear viewers, thank you for joining us. As always, very important and beautiful points brought forth by Sheikh Mustafa Samadi, and how the love of Allah entails more than just mere lip service. And this battle between truth and falsehood continues to this very day. If we want to fix this broken and downtrodden world. It is upon the shoulders of every single one of us, regardless of language or ethnic background or nationality or religion. It is the duty of every single one of us out there to improve this world for the present and for the future. With that, we leave you until another talk show. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.